It's one of the longest gospel readings we have, and I'm not going to use a word of it. You may be seated. The Lord is my shepherd, David, shepherd king. Why David? I've heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord, but you don't care for music, do you? It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This old Sunday school story that begins today with our mental pictures of David the shepherd boy, David who slays Goliath, David the psalmist of whom the Israelites sang, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. David, faithful friend of Jonathan, David, at whom Jonathan's father, King Saul, threw a spear and nearly killed him. Stories of David the shepherd king go on and on and on and occupy a major part of the Hebrew Bible, and we rejoice in them. But you see, David grows up, doesn't he? He grows up out of cute shepherd boy. And be sure thy sins will find thee out. This is the fourth Sunday in Lent. The fourth Sunday in Lent is called Rose Sunday, Mid-Lent Sunday, Lateri Sunday, Rejoice Sunday, Refreshment Sunday. In England, it's called Mothering Sunday, and it's sort of their Mother's Day. And as I tell the little kids, centuries ago, the Pope appointed Rejoice Sunday, named after Lateri, the first word in the introit to the Latin Mass, and it comes from Isaiah 66, 10 and 11. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her gracious bosom. And the Pope declared Lateri Sunday, Rejoice Sunday, to momentarily ease Lent's onerous penitential burden of no music, as they had in those days, no music, no flowers, no fish, but no meat through the whole season, deep colors of violet, and reproof, reproach, no Gloria in Excelsis to be sung, and Alleluia, Alleluia is neither sung nor chanted nor spoken, but absolutely forbidden, forbidden. And you may have noticed some of those old forbids hold on. Some rectors do not allow church weddings during Lent. None of us say hallelujah, hallelujah during Lent. But more and more over the years, the church so melds with society at large that anything goes, and Lent is really just another season of changing our liturgical colors, the purple, violet now. It was rather glum when I was growing up, and I'll admit I was surprised when my Pennsylvania bishop scheduled my priest ordination for a weekday night during Lent. But my Lenten ordination turned out beautifully. From the church florist, we ordered 1,000 daffodils, and Linda decorated our church altar with 1,000 yellow daffodils, and it was splendid. It was just absolutely wonderful. The church was jammed. There was not even standing room there. We had a lot of different denominations present. Two Roman Catholic bishops came. One later was a cardinal, and I planned the liturgy for that night, which to my rector's consternation included not only a lot of renewal music for the first time in that old conservative parish, but especially for the first time, be with me about this at all, we had a woman parishioner as one of our lectors, breaking the ice in an old male patriarchal stronghold. It was March 1984, 33 years ago this month. I was 48 years old. 33 years ago. I don't know about you, but looking at myself, I've changed greatly in those more than three decades, and not just the scary old fool whose face I shave in the bathroom mirror mornings. Recently, I read an article, maybe you saw it. It was about a 60-plus-year personality study that tracked individuals from age 14 to 77. And it concluded that we change completely over that period of time. Not only the cells of our bodies, which apparently, according to science, completely change over a seven-year cycle, but this longest of all studies of human beings and human nature found that our personality, which is who and what we are, changes completely in those decades from our teens into our 70s. So I have changed, and you have changed, and you are changing. And I'm now not the person and personality that I was even that March 1984 evening, 33 years ago, when my Pennsylvania bishop laid hands on me, praying God, make him a priest in your church. And reading today's Old Testament Bible study, I have an inkling of how David the shepherd boy felt after Samuel anointed him king, because ordination changes what and who you are. It was profound for me, as St. Paul and John Bunyan, grace abounding to the chief of sinners. Before we were ordained in any diocese in the Episcopal Church, the candidates for holy orders must be examined by a psychiatrist of the bishop's trust and choosing. But instead of talking about myself, the psychiatrist that the bishop sent me to, when I went in, he told me about how he had always wanted to be a priest, but he was Roman Catholic, and so he couldn't be a priest because he'd married and had a family, but he'd always wanted to be a priest. And I got him off talking about himself instead of me for the whole session. And if you're here, John, I testify that this did work for me. And he gave me a good report. If you can imagine giving Tom Weller a good report, the chief of sinners, all it proved was that he didn't get to know me at all. And I thought that I'd put one over on the shrink and the bishop and the church, but it was quite the opposite. Because beginning that ordination night, God put one over on me. And as the bishop and the other elders who were ordaining with the bishop lift their holy hands from your head and step back, you realize that you no longer belong to yourself. You now belong to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. And yet, human creatures, we sin again and again and again. And so with David, the Lord is my shepherd. It certainly was so with David, whom God and Samuel called in from shepherding the field. If you listen to the Old Testament lesson as it read just now, called him in from the field to anoint David as king. Reading these wonderful old Sunday school Bible stories over the course of my lifetime, I see God, the Lord, loving David, his psalmist, poet, musician, shepherd come king, even more than Abraham. Moses was mentioned in our gospel reading today. Moses, this Egyptian prince, had a whine about him, a whine, annoying God in the extreme. But between God and Abraham and between God and David, nothing but pure love, deepest mutual affection going both ways. Scholars have called Abraham God's old drinking buddy, but from the time David, the shepherd boy, is chosen and anointed, he comes closer than anyone else in the Hebrew Bible to Son of God, whose later throne only Jesus could fill. But unlike Jesus, King David, David's beloved son, sinned wickedly and mortally. And on Rejoice Sunday, we can remember that. Your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty in the moonlight threw you. She tied you to a kitchen chair. She broke your throne. She cut your hair. And from your lips, she drew the hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. So I have Leonard Cohen again this morning as I profane Lent with hallelujahs, and this naughty reminder of David and Bathsheba, and I think after Adam and Eve, the apple, and Nakash, the serpent, our lusty, romantic old sin story of breaking all the rules tells who and what we are as children of darkness. Not children of the light that we want to be, but children of darkness. And it happened in Lent. Listen. And it came to pass in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried at Jerusalem. David didn't go up to the fight. He stayed home. And it came to pass one evening, you know this story, that David walked out upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, and she returned unto her house. And Bathsheba conceived and sent and told David, I am with child. You have impregnated me. You have made me pregnant. And you know the rest, the next part of that ugly story. And the worst part, David wrote a letter to Joab, his general, and sent it shamefully by the hand of Uriah himself. In the letter he wrote, set Uriah in the forefront of the battle and draw back from him that he may be struck down and die. It happened just that way. Over against the commandments of God, David compounding mortal sin upon mortal sin. He was confirmed later with his crime and sin. And when that happened, David himself said, not recognizing himself. And Nathan, the chaplain, says to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel. I rescued you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house, your master's wives into your bosom, gave you the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord? Do what is evil in his sight. You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife. You have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. And now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, for you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, I will raise up trouble against you from within your own house. And I will take your wives before your eyes. I'll give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. David said to Nathan, I've sinned against the Lord. Nathan said to David, the Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. David's story is offered. It's a Jewish story. Offered to us Christians, to you, Christian, to own your personal sin as you look inwardly throughout this penitential season of Lent. You say, I took the name in vain. I didn't even know the name, but if I did, well, really, what's it to you? There's a blaze of light in every word. It doesn't matter which you heard, the holy or the broken. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the life of and sin of David, the Bible tells a shocking, lustrous, murderous old story for one reason and for one reason alone, and that is to show in the face of David's sin and repentance the amazing grace of God's love. Creation, sin, judgment, repentance, and then forgiveness, absolution, restoration, which is redemption, and Easter itself. Hallelujah. Outside the Gospels of Jesus Christ, there is in all of Scripture no greater story of God's love than the story of David the Shepherd King. For all David's sin and God's displeasure, the Lord loved David. Although in accordance with the prophecies of Nathan that I just read to you, justice followed David all the days of his life, the Lord loved David, never left him, never abandoned him. This David's story invites you to claim it as your own story. On this spring Sunday of Lent, rejoicing as we rejoice for Jerusalem, and as we recall God's choosing David as his anointed, we celebrate that even David's most monstrous, most heinous, most deadly sins were not beyond the saving grace of God's love. For all his sin and his consequences, David repents, and God forgives. Easter comes for David. David has his Easter. And Easter will come for you. We have in the Bible all these pages upon pages upon pages of the life and times and blessings and sins of David the shepherd, shepherd king. The Lord is my shepherd. So that you, even you, every single person in this room can see that God is gracious and merciful and quick to forgive the sins of those who are penitent. And so David, I did my best. It wasn't much. I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I've told the truth. I didn't come to fool you. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.